What's better than pizza? Pizza and wings. Did you know our chicken wings come from chicken raised without antibiotics? It's all part of our pure promise to serve you the best tasting products. Ciao, I'm Dominic Primucci, inviting you to taste the difference.
439-444-PIZZA-NOVA.
There's been an awakening. Have you felt it?
Dean Blundell and Company.
All the preteen children out there, listen to my voice. You are immortal.
Hey, give me 2 claps and a Ric Flair.
I didn't realize it was my job to pump his tires.
Let's go now.
You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hello, good morning. Welcome. It is Tuesday, the 17th day of January. It is 1 degree outside right now. You are listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Who's busy today? As my mom would say, who's a good boy? You're a good boy. Who's a good boy? Who's busy today? We're busy today. Great show for you to boot. Crazy night in the NHL last night. Pens Caps with an instant classic. We'll get to that. Cavs Warriors last night, too. Featured a blowout and some rough stuff. Raps in Brooklyn tonight. Leafs at home to the Sabres. Should be a couple of gimme wins. Although we know how that goes with these teams. Mike Babcock wants everybody to relax. The Cubs go to Washington. Bautista still not a J. But we're close. Lots of guests this morning, including Dan Shulman, Clark Judge, Glenn Healy. We'll also go to Brazil later on this morning. Yes, we're all getting Brazilian. Not Brazilians, Brazilian. Good morning, George. How are you today, sir?
I'm great, Dean. And you talk about that awesome game last night between the Caps and the Pens. Woo!
Yeah.
Justin Williams said it was like the 1988 Smythe division last night, and that's what it felt like. Great game. Caps blow a 3-goal lead. But the only thing I could think of watching that game last night was, who does the scheduling for the NHL?
Why?
Do they have like a monkey behind a keyboard who just randomly punches the schedule out?
I am a monkey fan.
It's a computer. The computer spits it out, and they got this thing. It's a program, and then they go and look at it, and they go, okay, let's jimmy this schedule, if you will. Let's try and figure something out to really take advantage of a couple of different matchups. This, you would think, would be one of them. However, I will say this. If it wasn't on a special, it was Martin Luther King Day yesterday, so they had some pretty great matchups. They had hockey all day long, starting at 1 o'clock. And that was the Sabres game. They won 4-1. Leafs get the Sabres tonight, which is going to be funny because they're way behind the Leafs again. it's like Groundhog Day for the
really
Sabres.
Is.
Yeah. Anyway, I had no problem with the rivalry and on the matchup. An 8-7 game, Penguins win 9 goals in 16 minutes in the second period. It was awesome.
And it was a great game. But you schedule it, and we don't care here in Canada, but the Warriors and Cavs played last night in Oakland. Everybody down south was watching that game, and a lot of people didn't see a great showcase of hockey last night, excitement, because of the schedule.
That's so stupid.
It's stupid.
It is stupid. I'll tell you why. This is why it's dumb, because a Warriors-Cavs fan, a Warriors fan in Golden State isn't going to go, you know what, it's too bad this game's on tonight because I really wanted to catch Caps-Pens. I mean, there's two totally audiences. You're not going to go and capture a basketball, a fan's perspective because you're not going to turn him into a massive hockey fan. He's not going to abandon basketball just because it was on the same night.
So don't have it on the same night.
To miss that game.
Yeah, don't have it on the same
Pittsburgh,
night, Dean.
Anyway.
Well, newsflash, the NHL is way behind the other big three sports in the United States.
Well, newsflash, because it's just full of Canadians and a bunch of Swiss guys.
But you're missing an opportunity to showcase the two games. And what about
But you're not going to turn those people
on.
I don't know why you get such a boner about the schedule, and you do it from time to time. And I get that it's your little thing, but do you really think that, and it's a legit, like when you're talking about the CFL scheduling a game when the NFL has a game, yes, that's ridiculous and stupid. But because it's football, it's the same sport. It's not like you're going to get some kind of hockey renaissance out of Golden State just because you didn't schedule it the same night as Cavs Warriors.
Or move it to 1 o'clock or something because it was a holiday in the United States yesterday.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, by the way, the league scheduled the Penguins and Oilers McDavid.
They had lots of
games.
On
the night of the U.S. election.
Hang on. The NHL releases their schedule 2 months before the NBA releases their schedule.
But the U.S. election on Crosby and McDavid?
Sure. I mean, not perfect. But well,
it's not like the Bettman's going to call United States electorate
sure.
and say, guys,
they
listen,
can't move that game earlier.
We got
a
big game tonight.
Game.
You're going to have to move the election.
Learn that it's the NHL is not going to be a national sport in the States. I mean, how much more?
Yeah, but they want it to be. That's fine. You guys can be realistic, but that's not how they think in New York. It's not, and it never will be. They constantly want to grow the game in the United States.
Well,
that's the reality of the situation.
We're in Toronto
here. We don't care, but the league cares.
Sure. But anyway, my point was this: is that doesn't matter what night it was on. It was a hell of a game, 8-7.
It was.
And fun to watch. And it was funny because, you know, you watch that game or you watch highlights of the game, and you wonder, too, because of how good both of those teams are. I know the Caps just came off like an 8-game win streak or a 9-game win streak. And, you know, the Pittsburgh Penguins have been really consistent and really good again this season. And that was just another, you know, time when Alexander Ovechkin's on the losing end of a game with the Pittsburgh Penguins and Sid the Kid, but who's no longer a kid. Do we have to keep calling him Sid the Kid, Fabro? Sidney Crosby. It was just Sidney Crosby's name. It was a hell of a game, and one of those games where if you're not in the market, like I had actually had an interest in that game last night because it was such a high score. Those are the games I love to watch. 8-7, are you kidding me? That's what you sell. That's fun. That's a lot of fun last night. I really enjoyed that.
And Braden Holtby looks so rattled on some of those games. And Evgeny Malkin, too, had the hat trick. And it was just a tremendous game. Ovechkin was quiet, though, in that game.
Yeah.
7 goals by the Caps. He kind of was a non-factor.
Yeah, but he's always a factor in every game he plays. But you're right. You didn't see him on the scoreboard. And you saw Sidney with, 4 points last night? Malkin with 3 goals. It was a big night for both of those guys.
I have a thought here when looking at these teams, and you kind of hope that as Leaf fans, you are one day in the same category as those. Ideally, you know, not doing what Washington does in the playoffs every year and flame out. But, like, how you build a team is the reason Washington hasn't gotten over, you know, over the likes of Pittsburgh in the playoffs and others, because they don't have a number one bona fide defenseman. Like, Green's been their guy, and he's more of an offensive player, right? And, you know, people don't really talk about him anymore. But is that a reason? Because, you know, a lot of Leaf fans are looking towards the deadline and the future, and we need a number one defenseman. And how the hell are we going to get it? Because we can't find a path. Do you look at the Caps and think that's a reason they haven't gotten over the hump? And I don't know. And maybe I look at this Leafs team and think, maybe you don't need to have a number one defenseman, because it's going to be really hard to get one. You have this awesome offensive team. Maybe just try to get a better offensive team. Maybe just try to outscore your opponents big time as a way of, like, I wouldn't trade Nylander.
Like, don't worry about playing that great defensive game. Well, if you're going to have a track meet, have a track meet. Sort of what the Blue Jays did a couple of years ago. We can't get an arm, so we're going to beat the crap out of you instead.
A little bit, yeah. But, you know, people want to say, well, we need a shutdown defenseman. Well, maybe we just need a really good, you know, defense core that can move the puck a lot, like not slow things down. Like, when does the Leafs defense look in trouble? When it's like the Pollock, Hunwick, like the slow guys that, you know, can grind it out in the corner. Maybe we just get a pretty good mobile defense core that can keep feeding this offensive juggernaut. Like, we have already, the Leafs have an amazing offense. I think it's fair to say. I'm just trying to figure out what's the best way, because nobody's going to trade you a number one defenseman, and they're not bad enough to draft one. So how do you go about being a winning team?
I don't know. You need that number one guy. Just look at the last, and you can debate whether or not Chris Letang is a number one defenseman, because maybe he kind of leans towards maybe not really. But outside of the Pittsburgh Penguins last year, who's won the Stanley Cup lately? The Hawks and the Kings.
Yeah.
Based on Duncan Keith and Drew Doughty.
But in today's game, and we've talked about this over the last couple of weeks, like, look at how much it to get Adam Larson, who's an average defenseman, okay, you gave up Taylor Hall. Like, do you want to see the Leafs make a similar move? No, not really, right?
But Austin Matthews is obviously the cornerstone of the franchise. Would you trade Mitch Marner for a number one defenseman?
No. No, it's stupid. He's a second line center, and he's really, really good, and he's the future of this team. I wouldn't trade any of the top three guys. I think it's a ridiculous prospect. But I understand why people would be tempted to do so and ask the question. But you can do that through the draft. There's different ways you can do it. You can do it by trading guys. You can do it by trading picks and prospects, or maybe even a piece off the roster. Maybe you do it at the end of the season because, JVR is having a great season this year and a resurgent year. Bozak and Marner also on the same line with him. Marner being the cog that drives it. If Mike Babcock says, listen, I think Marner can drive a line on his own, he can drive a line on his own. And when on a team like this, offensively, he's your second best player.
But that's the thing. He's a winger. Right. Yeah.
But George is right, because that's the guy. That's the only guy. I mean, you're not trading Matthews. You're probably not trading Marner, but you're right. To get a number one defenseman, that's the guy you have to trade.
You're going to miss between 60 and 70 points if you trade a guy like that this season in his rookie year.
Right. And Mike Babcock was a genius for years and years in Detroit because he had Nick Lidstrom.
Yeah, but he had Nick Lidstrom before he got there. It wasn't like he did anything, because if he's a genius, he's a genius by attrition, because Nick Lidstrom was there before he got there.
No question. Did a great job in Anaheim, but he also had great defensemen in Anaheim.
Yeah, sure he did. It's something they don't have here, and they got to find it. And whether they build through the draft or whether they go, but either way, you're going to see them try and make a push, and you wonder if it's going to be this year. And then you try and tie in the fact, and Faber and I were talking about this prior to going on the air this morning. You talk about the fact that you're this close. Have they exceeded your expectations? And I think that's going to be a question we're going to ask this morning as they take on the Sabres tonight. Sabres can't seem to get it together. They're in year three. Leafs are traditionally really in year two. Yeah, they're ahead of the curve, as Lou Lamoriello said. And then Mike Babcock said yesterday, if you heard it, he's like, pump the brakes. We're still a young team. We've still got lots of learning to do. Let's not get too excited for the playoffs. It's a good team. I like this team, but we really haven't done anything yet. So, if those are his expectations, that yes, he sees light at the end of the tunnel, but at the same time wants people to temper it with a little bit of reality, which is you're not in the playoffs yet. How do you feel as a fan? Like, are you allowing yourself? And I think this is a question, and it's worth asking, and we'll put it on Twitter in some variety, way, shape, or form. But, are you allowing yourself, much like the Toronto Blue Jays a couple of years ago, where the team's creeping close to 500, they're over 500, they're 2-3 games, you're starting to see a few more fans trickle in, nothing serious. But when they were 10, 15 games over 500, right, leading the American League East, people allowed themselves to believe. So you as a fan, are you sitting there this morning going, oh, geez, now I believe. Now I really think that the pain and the suffering that we've gone through for 40 years is over. Because that's a huge part of this, right? It's that letdown that you have mentally as a fan, traditionally about this time between now and the next 2 months from now, where the team shows a little promise and they go into the toilet. And you go, okay, well, there's another 40 years, because it's unfulfilled promise. Every single interpretation of management that comes in here tells us something, and they can't get it done. And are you starting to allow yourself as a fan to kind of let hope creep in a little bit? And are you being able, as a fan, are you able to say, you know what, this is worth my investment now. This is worth my time. Remember those phone calls?
Short-term pain for long-term gain.
Yeah, well, thanks, Mike. Remember those phone calls we had a couple of years ago? And by and large, the phone calls and the Twitter polls that we would do would be, wake me up when this team's a contender.
Yeah.
Well, are you allowing yourself to believe that this team is? And I think that's the question we're going to ask this morning, and I think it's worth asking, because they're a pretty good hockey team. I mean, they've exceeded my expectations and the expectations of pretty much everybody else. We had Damian Cox on the other day. He's like, yeah, I'm shocked. I am amazed that this team is where it is. It is so well coached. The talent is so much better. They are so much deeper than they were last year. And I think when you look at the metrics or the numbers, or the, and we talked about stats, guys, and you can call them nerds. I think they're awesome because they give you a little snapshot into what this team really is, and you can actually boil it down to a science. So that's going to be one of the questions we ask this morning, Leafs Sabres tonight. The other question we're going to ask about Sabres fans is, what's it like to think that you're ahead of us and then finally realize you're behind us by a year?
It's true, though. It really is.
That'll be worth talking about this morning, so we'll get to that coming up this morning as well, and much, much more as Leafs added tonight, Raps added tonight, and we'll fill in a whole bunch of other holes as well. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
$5.49. Hi there. Welcome. It's Tuesday, January the 17th. It is Dean Blundell and Company. My name is Dean. That is George. We have a couple of Ryans and a Mike. Lots going on today. Dan Shulman's back. What a nice surprise that is.
Nice.
It's like just over a month away from pitchers and catchers. So, and I'll tell you what, this Jose Bautista thing's still dragging on. We were supposed to hear something yesterday, I guess. We didn't hear anything, and apparently they're still working on it today.
Circumstances.
Rumor is, this is the latest in case you're wondering what's going on with Jose. If you just woke up and checked your phone and you're like, no news. No news, not necessarily good news, however, not bad news. As Jose Bautista and the Blue Jays believed to still be working on what is also believed, rumored, according to sources, rumored to be a one-year deal worth about $18-19 million with a vested option, as Mr. Jeff Blair's reported here on this very program yesterday, and then on his own program, but it is a mutual option, which I haven't heard of before.
Yeah.
Have you ever? I've heard of a club option. I've heard of a player option, but a mutual option. So what happens if, what happens if they both mutually sort of decide, like, this, see what I mean? Like, when both, well, it's got to be mutual. It's got to be 50-50. Well, if, what if one side decides that they want you to stay and the other side says no? Well, then we got to negotiate. Okay. I've never heard of a mutual option before.
So Jose has an injury-riddled 2017, hits 5 home runs, and, you know, he has a $20 million option for next year. He goes, I really want to re-sign this option with you guys.
Yeah.
Like, we're good here, right? Because this is a mutual decision for
us. Well, and this is when it's not mutual. This is, I believe, the response. This is when you know, no, it's not mutual, is when you hear this from the Toronto Blue Jays. It was when you hear this. If you hear that from Ross or Mark from
it's,
the...
It's Mark.
From the Shepatkins, if you hear that from the, this, it's not mutual.
A mutual option would essentially act as an opt-out for Bautista in one of the, I believe, Rosenthal's article.
An opt-out for Bautista. So he's the guy that can opt out of this? The Blue Jays can't?
Quickly reading this, yes. This is what it appears. Wow. So if he has a amazing season, he would likely opt out.
Oh, and test free agency again? That really worked out great for
lots
him.
Will change between now and then.
Especially kids, he'll be a year older,
but
too.
But I'll tell you this. Is it so we're you know, we've heard lots of stories about him possibly resigning as a Toronto Blue Jay. I wouldn't doubt it. And I was reading a great article from Ben Nicholson-Smith. He's the baseball editor at Sportsnet.ca. He did a great article on the death of the long ball as it comes to the economy of baseball. He and Shai a while back. Tremendous. I should retweet it. It's a great explanation as to why guys like him are still on the market, because there's still lots of guys like him on the market. But one of the things that he said in this article in regards to, you know, getting Jose Bautista would go a long way into solidifying the plans, basically the trickle-down effect of Jose Bautista being a, you know, a big part of the puzzle for this team is having him signed. So But one of the things that I thought was really interesting was that in his article, he effectively said, listen, Jose Bautista, pre-injury, you take his injury timeout, post-injury, during the injury. He actually had the best season out of all of those free agents by far when it came to his OPS, when it came to his weighted runs created. That's a long story. It's just a great, I know it's a tough one. Tough one to figure out. But his average was around 260, and Fangraphs and Zips projects him to actually hit about 260, 270 this year with just over 30 home runs. And I'll tell you what, and 100 and some RBIs, if you can get a guy with 100-plus ribbies, hits 260, 30-plus home runs for $18-19 million, thank you very much. And a one-year deal, it's a great deal. Yeah. If that's the projection of his production this year, I love the idea of having Jose Bautista back in this lineup.
But if they are going to give him $20 million and you see the deal that Michael Saunders signed yesterday for $9 million for a year with the Phillies,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't you rather, because we all know there's a budget and it's frustrating as hell, but wouldn't you rather have Michael Saunders at $9 million and then
Not
Jose Bautista at $20
million
and
then
you address the bullpen?
Do you know what, Michael Saunders' second half OPS was?
It was awful.
620.
I get that, but
you know his first half was 920.
Okay, but
it's a drop of 300 points. Other than Mark Trumbo, the steepest drop in production in Major League Baseball last season.
But all
across the board, from average to power numbers to his OPS to his slugging, like it was the steepest drop other than Mark Trumbo in all of baseball all season long. So if you ask me who I'd rather have with that track record, it ain't Michael Saunders.
Okay, but you're talking about how the home run is dying when it comes to value in baseball. That's fine, but baseball's turning into specialized bullpens. And if you can use some of that money, because the Blue Jays don't have a lefty in the bullpen.
Yeah.
They need a lefty in the bullpen.
They'll get one.
They'll get one. Might be off the heap.
Okay.
You think the management's that dumb? Like, oh, yeah, look at our bullpen. We're not
going to trust these guys. Course. If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. If there's two guys you can put your faith in, it's the Shepatkins. If there's two guys you can rally behind.
Shatkins.
Nope. Can't do that one for obvious reasons. If there's two good guys you can rally behind, if there's guys that say, and you know what's funny? I've watched them let the market come to them. And it's been, you know, and Jose Bautista's still here. You know, they could have got, hey, listen, this team could have got it done with Edwin. That was the best option on the table, and he said no, and things went screwy after that for all different parts. So they are putting this thing together come hell or high water. I still think this is a really good team. And 1 year of Jose Bautista, if he's healthy and if he's motivated, and it looks like he is, and I love the way he plays when he's pissed off, it could be a different season. It could be to our advantage. This could be a coup.
What happened to panic-stricken, angry Dean?
He settled down.
Yeah.
He settled down. Well, and I'll tell you, because...
Because these guys were going to address the team.
Well, listen, George brought up the point yesterday, although slightly misguided. He had a great point, and the point was this, is that they didn't do...
Misguided.
It was pretty misguided.
No.
That they didn't do what they were that they set out to do, or they told us they were going to do, which is younger, left-handed, more athletic. But is this not still a very productive team when you look up and down that lineup? They still got a couple of holes to fill. But man, oh man, you know, Jose Bautista in right field minus defense at the same time, you can platoon some guys, blah, 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 blah.
Right. And let's not forget the culture change, too, that was supposed to happen with him getting out of here, too. Because guys were tired of him in the clubhouse, and they wanted the culture change.
Last time I checked,
we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
And those reports that were coming out after the season.
No one's ever won a game in the clubhouse. No one's ever won a game. They're never played in the clubhouse.
Right.
Last time I checked. 557. I like it. I've changed my tune. It's going to be a good year.
I like that a lot.
So I told you the season didn't start in December, Dean.
You know, well, it's not even done yet, and I've changed my mind. It's the best. 557, George, with an update. Next, you're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
It's 6:02. All right, morning. It is Dean Blundell and Company, Tuesday, 17th day of January, 1 degree right now. We'll see a high today of 3, 5 tomorrow, 4 for Thursday. Plus side temperatures all week long between 3 and 5 degrees. I was just looking at the Atlantic Division. Man, is it crap. And Georgie and I were just talking about this off the air. There's a chance for the Leafs to make the playoffs. And yes, they've exceeded expectations. But thank God the Atlantic Division's as garbage as it is. Because you look down the line of the Eastern Conference here in sixth place, Rangers in seventh, Rangers 9 points clear of Toronto overall when it comes to points. So could be a little bit of voodoo here. Could be some the timing couldn't be better for your Toronto Maple Leafs to actually be believably good.
Do we believe the Lightning are this bad? That seems to be the most interesting thing in the standings, right?
Don't forget the Panthers, too. They're riddled with injuries. Bukestead, Huberdeau, Barkov, they're not this bad either.
Panthers are 11th, Tampa Bay's 12th, Jersey, forget it. Detroit's going to miss the playoffs for the first time, and even though they won yesterday.
Carolina's a really interesting team. They're just out as of this morning, but they're actually a +4 in an Eastern Conference where a lot of teams are in the minus. Mm-hmm. That's a team that has a little bit like the Leafs, really good young offensive team. You know, is Cam Ward still good? Is a big question there, and that might hold them back. But that's a team to watch. I don't think we like the Sens? I think the Sens are just average. You wouldn't be surprised if they miss.
Nobody likes, people in Ottawa don't like the Sens.
Yeah, but they you know what? They've got some goaltending issues there too, right? Because of obviously what, unfortunately, Craig Anderson's dealing with, and the Hamburglar's injured. Not that he was any great shake either, but then
he's done too, Dean.
Mike Condon, is his injuries?
He's just done. Like, he's finished. He's not good. He's done.
And Mike Condon, obviously, career backup. It's not going to do. But anyway, they're on the decline as well. If you haven't seen, so it just really looks like, you know, the path is there for the Toronto Maple Leafs to, you know, to not just the way that they're playing, but, you know, the schedule and coming down the stretch, you're going to play more division opponents. The division's crap, the Atlantic Division, with the exception of the Canadiens. So,
and that second wild card spot's up for grabs too. Last week and weeks before that, we're just focused on this Atlantic Division because of the reasons you got mentioned. But now Philadelphia won 10 in a row. They're completely in a funk, complete slide. They've won 2 out of their last 10. They've opened the doors. The Leafs are now 2 points out of that bottom spot in the wild card race. So that's good news.
Yeah.
A lot of good news.
Lots of good conversations to have. Boston not having a great time of it right
too
now
bad
either.
For them
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, it's really it's a tough shame.
Great suck on that, Bruins.
So, yeah, could be right
suck
there.
Suck on that one for tonight.
We'll see, and we'll get to it coming up this morning. They're at it again tonight. Leafs Sabres. We got Raps to talk about. We've got some football to get to, quite possibly as well. It's a busy day. Bautista almost, but still not a Blue Jay. Here's George with an update.
Yeah,
hey, George.
Great time for sports.
Yeah, it's terrific. Yeah. And this update is brought to you by your Toronto area Ford dealers. The Maple Leafs had the night off last night and host the Sabres tonight down at the ACC on Sportsnet Ontario. We'll get to them in a sec, but first from the ice last night, the Caps and Pens played like it was the 1980s.
After it, Sherry with Crosby, 2-on-1. Sherry on the right side. Niskanen tried to play it. Sherry shoots. And it's up by Grubauer in the puck in front. Knocked in by Crosby or Sherry. One of the two knocked it in. Sherry, I think. And the Penguins have won.
Yeah, Mike Lang with the call. Connor Sherry scored 34 seconds into overtime to give Pittsburgh the 8-7 win, snapping Washington's 9-game winning streak. Caps forward Justin Williams talks about his team coughing up the 3-goal lead.
We're up 3-0. Things are going well. Things have gone well lately. Mm-hmm. But they're not going to back away. They're not going to say, all right, maybe next game. They're going to come at you. And they did. It snowballed too quickly for us. All around, it was like a 1988 Smythe Division game out there, I think. Not something we wanted to.
Yeah, it totally was. It was a great game last night in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I miss that. You don't realize how much you miss scoring until you see a game with a whole bunch of it, right? You know, you get 6 goals from the Penguins in the second period, all told in 16 minutes and 16 seconds yesterday, I think. They had scored 9 goals total, both teams. Tell me that's not the hockey you want to watch. It's the hockey I want to watch.
Of course
everybody
it is.
Does. Terrible day for the goaltenders, but who cares about goaltenders when it comes to exciting hockey? That's when it's exciting, when the goaltenders are crap. You see a goalie change. You see a couple of them. But when you see 15 goals in 60 minutes, that's awesome.
Well, and what a difference, too. You watch that Kings and Lightning game I was watching. It was in the afternoon, 4 o'clock start in Los Angeles. What a bore fest that game was.
Yeah.
2-1 Lightning went, oh, my God. Defensive, stifling LA Kings.
How about your Habs, too, playing
too.
The Detroit?
Lost. Yeah.
One nothing
games. Detroit. Yeah. It was a brutal game. And then you have that game. It had everything in it. It's physical.
How many guys?
Scoring.
See, that's the thing, right? Is it how many people? And I know that that's the way the NHL's gone. I know they're trying to correct it to breathe some more life and offense into the league. But like, how many people go, I cannot wait for this defensive matchup tonight. It is going to be awesome.
Right.
Yeah. You get two great trap teams. Yes. They play the same, you know, 2-3-2 or whatever it is that they do. This is going to be a lot of fun to watch tonight.
That's Michelle Terry in hockey.
Two great teams clamping it up in the middle.
2-1-1-0.
You know,
Michelle Terry in hockey.
No time, no space.
Yeah, it's great.
No breakout passes. They prevent breakout passes so well. They never get out of their own zone because the other team. This is going to be a great defensive matchup. You got two former Selke Trophy winners going at it tonight. No one says that. Everybody goes, ooh, 8-7, that must have been awesome.
And hockey, it's even worse. In baseball, when it's a pitcher's duel, you're like, this is a good game. Like, you know, it's still scoreless. Look at those guys throwing smoke, striking dudes out. That's exciting. There's nothing exciting about a hockey game that's just stifling defense the whole game and guys blocking shots. There's zero excitement when it comes to that.
Right. I mean,
would you say a 1-0 game is like an R.A. Dickey start?
No, at least there's excitement because the fans catch balls in the outfield.
That's capricious.
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement.
Lots of outfield trophies.
Josh Toley at the dish. You can always have a good chuckle about that. That was always exciting. There was that game between the Lightning and the Kings. It was on Sportsnet. Fantastic broadcast. It was awful. Like, it was an awful game to watch.
That's not to say we can't. For years we can have an exciting 2-1 game in hockey. You know, even back in the old Smythe Division days, there were some of those. The problem is, for the most part, that's not the case, right? And these games, like 8-7, you know both coaches are completely pissed off. And that's part of the problem, right?
Yeah.
So how do we, you know, and this becomes a bigger question we can ask Clint Healy, you know, how can we get more of these games in today's NHL? And I don't think we can outside of bad defense and off night for goalies, right?
Yeah.
So how do we solve that?
And that's what makes Leaf games so exciting, because they can't really hold the leads down and they score lots of goals.
Tons. Yeah. The top five team when it comes to offense, pretty much every offensive category, so it's fun to watch. But yeah, you're right. And that's the shame of last night's 8-7 game with the Penguins and the Caps, is that both coaches are going to be scratching their heads this morning going, we need to fix this. I'm like, no, you don't. You need to play more like that. I love the wide open crap.
And I love they were talking about Grand Fear last night, too. Grant Fear would give up 5 goals, but man, would he wouldn't give up the 6th one for the Oilers.
That's a great hockey
And I'm like, okay, that's
you know, it's a high-scoring game when they go, you know what? Back in the day, this was a regular for Grant Fear, and he had a hell of a game.
That guy's in the Hall of Fame because he wouldn't give up the 6th goal.
That's true. That's been a myth we've heard about.
They were talking about that last night. There's one guy who would never give up the 6th.
And you know what? And
that guy.
And if you're Grant Fear, do you always want that to be the conversation around you in a high-scoring game? Oh, here we go. It's 6-8. Start talking about me soon.
Yeah.
A fun fact from yesterday's game. Crosby scored the winner.
Sheary scored the winner.
What am I saying? Yes. Oh, did Sheary get it?
So, yeah, Sheary got it.
I was watching
Crosby. I can't do my work.
Incorrectly. Score finishes 8-7. And with that, Crosby creeps into 87th all-time in NHL scoring, tying Rick Middleton. So there you go. Fun fact for your morning.
Yeah. Always scored that beauty goal in Don Cherry's Grapevine at the beginning with the no bucket where he goes wide and slides the puck along the ice. Yeah. Rick Middleton was sweet. Crosby had that, scored his league-leading 27th goal last night. Hey, a nice moment in Edmonton last night between the Oilers and Coyotes.
Era got knocked down. Cassian takes a hit from Pickard. Connor Murphy. Lost it edge. Out in front he comes. Dance for Jujar Kara. His first National Hockey League goal. And the Oilers have a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, Jujar Kara of Surrey, BC scored a goal as the Oilers beat the Coyotes last night 3-1. Kara is the third player of Punjabi descent to play in the NHL behind retired pros Robin Bawa and Manny Malhotra. Both of Punjabi Canadiens, Dean. So nice moment
good for
last
him.
Night.
Yeah, isn't that great? What a wonderful sentiment it is to how multicultural this country is, and you see it lots. If you've had kids go through the program, or if you've been through Timbits or whatever it is. You know, hockey specifically in this country is so much more multicultural than it's ever been. You go to the rink and you see people of all different descents, and that is a wonderful story for him. Good for him. And good for Canadians and good for hockey, too.
Elsewhere, the Islanders blanked the Bruins 4-0 while Buffalo dumped Dallas 4-1. The Leafs are 3 points behind the Bruins for second in the Atlantic Division, and they still have a ridiculous 6 games in hand. Hey, back to those Maple Leafs who kick off a 4-game homestand and begin the second half of the season tonight against the Sabres. Fresh off those back-to-back road wins over the Rangers and Senators, head coach Mike Babcock has a message for all you fans out there about this young team and all these rising expectations.
It's important that our team stays in its rightful place and that, you know, keep your foot on the gas and keep working hard and don't worry about reading all that stuff. Just keep working and doing good things. Now, you want to be excited. I'm pumped about that. You want to expect to have success, but you also steady on the rudder here. Let's just keep working. We're game 41.
Yeah, let's just slow down. That's what he is. Babcock's Leafs are 8-1-1 in their past 10 and beat the Sabres 2-1 back in early November in the B-Lo. We touched on it earlier. And to me, the rival being a neutral, I would love to see the Leafs and Sabres have a huge, because there was a bit of a rivalry there in the early 2000s, especially with Ryan Miller coming to town and the Leafs were in the playoffs and the Sabres were a really good team. To me, Buffalo seems like the logical rival for Toronto because they're an up-and-coming team as well. They got Jack Eichel. Those games in Buffalo are terrific when the Leafs are there. People fight in the stands, get totally gunned. It's a great atmosphere in Buffalo. I think that should be their number one rival, and I hope it kind of pans out that way.
Yeah, well, see, it geographically makes all the sense in the world, right? And when you think about where both of these franchises are at, you have to do one of two things. A, be surprised that Toronto has gone this fast and is where they are where they are. The other thing you have to be surprised about is that the Buffalo Sabres are stuck in reverse. It just seems like it doesn't matter what they do. And they started to break out a little bit last year, a little bit better than they were the year before. You'd have to think you'd need to be with a guy like Jack Eichel, who's all world. I mean, the Duke can just flat out score and shoot the puck. He's really, really good. He reminds me of Laine a little bit, too. Just with his ability to score and his shot. Anyway, but when you think about where both of these franchises are at, yeah. If you're a Buffalo Sabres fan and you're watching what's happening up the QEW here in the city of Toronto, not to gloat, but man, are you like, how can they get it right so fast and it's still taking us this amount of time?
But I was thinking about
this.
Are
you not a little bit jealous, too?
Yeah.
Like, not only are the cities vastly different when it comes to cleanliness and things to do, but your franchise had a year jumpstart on this program to be able to get better a little bit faster. And they were the ones doling out advice last year. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Tim Murray's like, well, you know, they're doing the right thing. I really respect what they're doing. We did it. Here's how we'd. And then all of a sudden you turn around and they've lapped you. That's got to be a terrible feeling as a Sabres fan.
There's no question that they should be jealous, but when you look at it as a whole, the last 40 years, Leaf fans are way more beat down than Sabres fans. At least they've tasted some success. They've gotten to a Stanley Cup final. They've won the President's Trophy. They were a really good team for a few years. Leafs really haven't done anything outside of a couple of semifinal appearances. At least the Sabres got to the big dance and were kind of hosed in a crushing loss to the Stars where Brett Hall's foot was in the crease and it was a goal, it wasn't a goal. But at least they've been really good. The Leafs really haven't been at that level in the last 40 years.
Yeah, they lost in a cup final. Leafs have got two conference finals, so I guess, you know.
That is a very moderate difference.
It's not much
in
yeah.
success. So don't get too carried away with saying they were very good at one point. They were good. They made it to a final. They didn't win the final, but they've been stuck in the same type of purgatory as this franchise for a very long period of time. So don't kid yourself.
But I was,
and then watching this whole thing makes me laugh.
Mike Shope, who we've had on the program in the past, hosts the Drive Show on WGR 550. I was driving, picking up my kids yesterday, and flipped over there, and he said, it's going to be a bitter pill to swallow to watch if the Maple Leafs get in the playoffs already, and the Sabres look like they're headed to the bottom five again. That's going to be a bitter pill for them to swallow, because they've been team tank for a long time.
Yeah.
Now it's time to, okay, we're
like three,
we're
4 years
to show
now.
Some improvement. I mean, Ristolainen looks like he's going to be an awesome, awesome defenseman. Reinhardt, okay, you know.
Reinhardt's a pretty good player. He'll come into his own. But don't forget, they made some big moves. They got Riley there, Evander Kane.
Which has been a failure.
Shocker that Vander Kane's not working out. Nobody saw that one
but
coming.
But there's, you know, Eichel looks like he's going to be the stud, but he's already a forgotten man when we talk about McDavid and what Matthews is doing.
Right.
Marner's already above those guys. Is he at Eichel's level? Different position, I know, but yeah, there is some jealousy.
Yeah, for
going
sure.
On.
If you were to draw a parallel universe between both of these franchises, if you're going to draw a straight line to success, the Toronto Maple Leafs have gone from A to B a whole bunch faster. And listen, are they at B yet? I don't think so. But you know, when you're that franchise and you look up the road and you go, oh, there you go, they just went past us. That sucks. Like, does it not feel like you're still stuck in that same place that you were before when you were trying to rebuild, and you get three? Like, we're what, a year and a half into a rebuild?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a playoff team. This is where you're waking up, the team's a playoff team. The Buffalo Sabres aren't even close. And you can say Jack Eichel was hurt for the better part of 20 games this season, blah, 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 all that other business. But at the same time, you got to be able to operate without one guy, and they haven't been able to, and that was the guy they got in the Connor McDavid dumping sweepstakes. And so you think about where that team's at and where this team's at. If you're that team,
right.
I completely empathize with what your friend Mike Schoep said the other day, which is, and if it was us, we'd say the same thing.
Leafs,
right?
Leafs have Anderson. They have Robin Lehner.
Yeah.
Like, ugh.
Anyway. But you can say Ristolainen's better than anything the Leafs have on the blue line.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet.
And Jack Eichel. Is it crazy to say that Jack Eichel potentially could be better than Austin Matthews long term?
Yeah, it is crazy to say.
I wouldn't say it's crazy. I don't think it's crazy.
It is. It's ridiculous.
Eichel's a really good player. He is.
He can score. That's all he does.
So can Eichel.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. We're talking about Eichel.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He's a really good player,
yeah,
too.
That's what
it's
I'm
just
saying.
We forget.
He's not. He's a really good offensive player. He plays little to no defense whatsoever, and he can't share the puck. He's Lion A. He is Lion A embodied.
He is not even close to Lion A.
Yeah, well, no, he's not even as good as Lion A. Lion A is better than him. And both of those guys are the same guy. They score in bunches, they don't share the puck, and they don't play any defense. And they don't know what forechecking is either, by the way. Both of those guys, same issue.
You're always obsessed.
Austin Matthews
forwards,
does all
forwards
of it.
Defensive abilities.
Yeah.
Dean's
Eichel's
like
good.
Bugaboo.
He's a center.
Listen, my
he's
favorite
center.
Trophy.
Really good.
My favorite trophy is the Selke.
Yeah, it is. You love when Datsyuk is one of those things.
Guy Carbonneau, maybe one of my favorite players of all time.
Yeah.
Dude was the best defensive forward in the league for 10 years.
Great head coach for us, too. Terrific head coach. Leafs and Sabres tonight, 7 o'clock
pregame.
That's
not us.
On Sports. I know, it's so frustrating. On Sportsnet Ontario. Hey, the Raptors are on the road tonight in Brooklyn against the Nets in a game you can hear live right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan with the pregame show at 7. The Raps are 8-0 against the Atlantic Division this season. Hey, good news, too. DeMar DeRozan was named the Eastern Conference Player of the Week. He averaged 30.7 points, 7.3 rebounds, and 2.3 assists as his team won three games. It's the third time already this season he has won the award. No Raptor has ever won it more than twice in a season. That's great. Hey, last night from the association, the Cavs and Warriors had their Christmas Day rematch in Oakland.
LeBron dribbles it. Curry steals it from behind. Spins away down the right sideline. He's got numbers. Pass to the corner. It's Klay Thompson, and it's up and good. Three ball for Klay.
Yeah, Steph Curry had 5 3-pointers and 20 points while matching his season best with 11 assists in Golden State's 126-91 beatdown of the defending champion Cavaliers. Draymond Green produced his third triple-double of the season with 11 points, 13 boards, and 11 assists, and got into another dust-up with LeBron James.
Followed him to stop the break, and he went down. And aftermath, I don't know, I told RJ to get on my face. Gotta tell you.
Yeah, here's LeBron talking about how tough he is.
I think his shoulder hit me in the face, but it happened so fast, I didn't even know who it was. You know, but I'm all right. I'm a football player.
Yeah, he's a football player. Yeah.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
What a beautiful acting job. He did that to us. Remember, he did this last year here. I think it was game 3 where he went down like he got shot from the grassy knoll and no one even touched him. It was actually Tristan Thompson that hit him by himself. Tristan Thompson actually hit his own player going by Damari Carroll. Damari Carroll turned around. LeBron James goes down like he got shot. He's a tremendous actor, and I know it's part of the game, but it's still part of the game I hate. And Draymond Green's
Oscar
right.
Oscar goes to...
If I'm Draymond Green, I'm not pleased with that effort again yesterday. But I guess when you pound him by 30, does it even really matter?
No, it doesn't. They crush him. You mentioned Tristan Thompson. I was thinking about this, too. We don't talk enough about him being a great Canadian basketball player. He's the glue of that team. He is so critical for the Cavaliers the way he grabs rebounds. He's huge. Just like Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Like, you can argue that they even on the broadcast last night on TNT, they were saying he's the most important player on the Warriors.
Draymond Green is. I don't think Tristan Thompson's the most important player
he's not.
On the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I never said that, but I'm saying he's a very good player.
Well, he said he was the glue. I'd say LeBron's the glue. I would say Draymond's like the napkin. He's like the popsicle sticks. Tristan Thompson. He's like the popsicle sticks for that. I would say LeBron James is the glue.
Well, he's the best player in the world. Hey, LeBron had 20 points and 8 boards for the Cavs. Just 2 games up on the Raps for top spot in the East. Okay, let's get to the latest on Jose Bautista. So Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports tweeted this yesterday. Quote, source, Blue Jays deal with Bautista, if completed, will be for 1 year with a mutual option. We found out that's basically if Bautista wants to pick up a second year.
I'll ask my questions.
Rosenthal also had this to say as well. Sources, Blue Jays and Bautista discussing 2-year deal in the $35 to $40 million range.
So 2-year deal, but it's really 1 year with an option. And it's effectively his option. It's a mutual option, but it's his option. He can walk away from it if he wants, right?
Essentially.
So it'll be worth more than 17.2, which was his qualifying offer. So you're looking at 18 to 20 or maybe backloaded. See, and that's the thing is if you backload that contract, and maybe you guys know why I don't, but if you backload that contract, let's say you do 17.2 or 18 this year and you do like 22 next year and they go, and he doesn't have a great year, can they turn down the mutual option or is it his?
I don't know.
See, that's what I would ask.
And that's the frustrating part that they really need to save that $3 or $4 million. Like, it's really that important to them because they want to allocate that money for next season, too. Because that's what it feels like.
Yeah, the money conversation I don't like having. Because I seem to think
it's frustrating.
That I seem to think that you should spare no expense, especially when you're this close. And so if you're going to chintz out on $3-4 million, it's one thing. But at the same time, Grange had a great tweet the other day. He was answering some guy on Twitter where he said, these guys are cheap asses, which I've said they are many times, and they don't do anything, not spending any money. And when you factor in the exchange rate, they're already at over $200 million. Like, that's it's real money, right? Like, right. It's not just cap money, which there's no cap in Major League Baseball, it's not just luxury tax money. It's real money. It's real money that goes out of this franchise.
They get a lot of their revenue in U.S. dollars, too, Dean.
Across Canada?
Well, but some of the TV money and
yeah.
they get and from baseball.
How much less money would they have? Everybody wants Edwin Encarnacion back, right? Everybody's mad. So if they ponied up big money for Edwin, like they had a offer on the table, you know, how much less would they be working with if Eddie was back?
Yeah. And Dean, real right? quick, you talk about that example of, you know, 200 million Canadian because of the exchange rate. But when the Canadian dollar was worth more than the American dollar, the Blue Jays weren't spending through their ass.
Well, it's because they sucked, right?
But still, like, we can't use that as an excuse either. So
no, the fact that they sucked as an excuse, so they're not going to go and spend money on something that sucks. So that explains that.
If the Trump presidency takes over and the dollar goes in the toilet, it will be great because then the Blue Jays can spend all that money. Mike Wilner had this to say last night on Sportsnet Tonight, talking about Edwin and Jose Bautista and who potentially will have a better year.
I do believe Jose Bautista is going to have a better year than Edwin Encarnacion. He was beat up this year, but he's still an elite, elite slugger in the game and fits beautifully in the middle of this batting order if that's where they choose to use him. And as he showed last year, he's willing to use those on-base skills as a leadoff man, too, if that's where they want to put him.
There you go. Mike Wilner saying Jose's going to have a better year than Edwin.
I don't know about that. I'll tell you why. But I do agree with Mike, and I think it was a no-brainer to bring him back. At the price he was going to get, no-brainer to bring him back.
It looks like he's coming back. Real quick, too, former Blue Jay Michael Saunders has signed a 1-year deal with the Philadelphia Phillies for $9 million, and Milos Raonic was a straight sets winner over Dustin Brown down under in Australia in first round play.
Thanks, George. Get to your Twitter poll question. Another update coming up next, 6:26. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company. Download the Sportsnet app in the App Store. Then listen online and on your phone. Toronto Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
.632 Twitter poll question coming up next at It's Dean Blundell. Is your Twitter feed? Go there. We will make sure we have something for you to chew on and vote for or against Leaf related. As we're at the halfway point right now, 41 games in, and your Toronto Maple Leafs officially in a playoff position. So we'll get to your Twitter poll question coming up next. Do, in the words of Cher, do you believe?
And it's funny how you look at the standings, because when you're, the Leafs are a game below 500 when you look at the standings.
You don't think it's strong enough, no. Do you believe in life after love?
Come on, what is taking so long for you to find that song?
I feel it's really don't think it's strong enough.
Are you good with lyrics? Are you a guy who knows all lyrics
yep.
the song? Because I am the worst. Like I.
Are you one of those guys that's like yeah. starts strong and then fades?
Absolutely.
Do you believe in life after love?
Like the dad in the car that's getting all the words wrong but doesn't yeah. really care. That's me. I
then
wish
you go
I
like
did
this.
Know.
I feel it somehow myself. Yeah. Enough
Have you liked a song for years and then you realize you were singing the wrong lyric and then you hear like that's the lyric right. instead yeah. of the one you were singing?
Yeah, it was Whitney Houston's "I Believe the Children Are Our Future."
Yeah,
I always, you know, it says "Give them a sense of pride" or something like that.
Yeah.
I thought it was Santa Claus.
Give them a Santa Claus.
Anyway, this is a great song.
Like Bon Jovi's "Living on a Prayer." I always thought "We'll Make a Life Swear." Instead, the actual song is "We'll Make It, I Swear." And I'm like, I always thought it was "Life Swear." I'm like, that's a...
Shh. Sure.
Okay.
Inside myself, I really don't think it's no. strong enough.
No, this is the Celine Dion version.
Who cares?
This is
Do
not
Do you
Cher.
Believe, Leaf fans? Do you believe?
I really don't think it's strong enough.
You know what lyrics I already got... always got wrong was Rick Astley, one of the best. You know that song, Never Gonna Give You Up?
Of course.
Yeah, always said,
Rick
then,
roll.
Then I'm gonna give you up, then I'm gonna let you down, then I'm gonna run. Like, I thought he was vindictive.
Oh, he's doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
No, he's saying he's never gonna do it.
I know, I'm never.
That's in the title of the song.
I just thought he was a really angry man, that Rick.
Oh, yeah, it's a great tune.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
This is maybe my least favorite song of all time. This and anything by Richard Marx.
Right here, waiting. Come on. This is great. And the best is when the hacker group Anonymous used to like screw a lot of people's song and just put this song on their trademark, too.
Rickroll.
Any other guy.
I think it's a good song.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Listen.
Then I'm gonna give you up. Then I'm gonna let you down.
Then I'm gonna run around and desert you.
I thought she did something really bad.
Yeah, like, no one sings songs like that, but I like the idea of it, right? Because yeah. here's what I'm gonna do. I'm never gonna give you up, but then I'm gonna let you down. Yeah. And then I'm gonna chase you down and hurt you. The ultimate serial killer
and
theme song.
He will never tell a lie, Dean. Because
yeah.
I know I've never lied to my significant other.
6:35, Twitter poll question coming up in just a second. Here's George with an update. Hi, George.
Hi, Dean, and it's brought to you by Burger King. The Maple Leafs had the night off last night and battled the Sabres tonight down at the ACC in a game you can watch on Sportsnet Ontario with the pregame show at 7. Last night from the ice, the Pens outgunned the Caps 8-7 in overtime, snapping Washington's 9-game winning streak. The Islanders blanked the Bruins 4-0, while Buffalo dumped Dallas 4-1. The Maple Leafs are 3 points behind the Bruins for second in the Atlantic Division with 6 games in hand. The Raptors are on the road tonight in Brooklyn against the Nets in a game you can hear live right here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, the pregame's at 7. The Raps are 8-0 against the Atlantic Division this season. Good news, too. DeMar DeRozan was named the Eastern Conference Player of the Week. No word yet on Jose Bautista and the Blue Jays. Apparently, they're nearing a deal. Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports
tweeted these. What's the holdup?
I don't know. Yesterday, Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports tweeted yesterday at the Blue Jays and Bautista discussing a two-year deal in the $35 to $40 million range. And great news for Canadian tennis team, Milos Raonic was a first-round winner down under.
Thanks, man. 6:37, time to get to a Twitter poll question where you can weigh in and we get your thoughts. At It's Dean Blundell. Join us on Twitter, if you will. Your Toronto Maple Leafs are currently in a playoff position. They get the Sabres tonight down at the Air Canada Centre. You can, I believe, watch it on Sportsnet at 7:30. Pregame at 7 o'clock, Sabres at Leafs. That is, again, on my favorite channel, and it should be yours, Sportsnet Television. Now, Twitter poll question, where are we at? Because they're close to, it's like you're so close, it's like almost the birth of a franchise. I can imagine when it's like an expansion team and you go, my God, you know, this team's actually really good. This is sort of like what it must have felt like when the Toronto Blue Jays put it together in the, you know, mid-80s after being a 77 franchise. And they come in, and you're like, wow, this team's actually pretty good. Are you allowing yourself to believe? Do you know where you think they're going to end up? Do you think this is a playoff team? What are we going to do with this Twitter poll question this morning, Ryan Favreau?
I'm curious how optimistic Leafs fans are. I think they should be, clearly. Okay, so they begin the second half in a playoff spot. Where do you think they'll finish? You know, Babcock's telling everybody to chill out, right?
Yeah, yesterday told everybody to chill out.
41 games left or whatever. Relax. And is he doing that for his team or for the fans or for the media? He wants expectations to be lowered just a little bit, right?
Well, see, now here's the question I would ask, because I'm full of them, full of something. Yeah, but
agree.
Thank you. Mike Babcock trying to tell this fan base to relax. Like, does he know who he's talking to? Right? That's like going into a kennel of dogs that hasn't been fed in days with a whole bunch of ground beef going, hey, everyone here, chill out, okay? Dogs, you'll all get a scoop. Relax. That's not the way it is. I mean, trying to tell this fan base to chill out when your team, which you've told everybody is going to suck again this year, A, doesn't suck, B, is really exciting, and C, has maybe one of the best young players in the entire league on it with something. We've never had nice, shiny things. We got nice, shiny things, and the future's bright. How can people relax?
Right. I thought it was interesting, too. Like, he was the guy who kind of mentioned playoffs before anybody was thinking of it. Remember this back in November?
We'd like to be in a playoff race after 20 games. I think if you're in the race, you have a chance, and so that's what you're trying to do. We have four games left in this segment before American Thanksgiving, and that's usually a telltale sign.
Oh, so he jacked us up then. Now he's trying to bring us back down to earth. Maybe he's trying to tell everybody relax because he's getting too jacked up too.
Two things. Number one is, do you guys believe that?
Great find, by the way. Great get.
Do you believe
good
that?
Good job, says.
Good job.
Yeah, way to go with the clips.
Impossible to spell his last name, but good job. Yeah.
Too many Zs.
Do you think that, do you believe that? That
and no vowels. He doesn't have one vowel in his name. Negative. Says
the negative.
Worst.
Do you think it's do you believe that, oh, the young guys need that playoff hockey experience? Do you really buy that? Are you guys big on that? Because I'm not too sure. Like a couple years ago when the Columbus Blue Jackets made it to the playoffs, and then they were just...
The Islanders.
The Islanders just brutal the next season. I don't really buy that. But we'll find out for sure how serious this management team is. And we asked Damian yesterday, trade deadline's at the end of February. If the Leafs actually go out there and add for the first time instead of just sell, we'll take some money on, then you know how serious they are about a playoff spot.
Yeah, my man Luke Fox wrote a great article on the movers and shakers, which we were talking about yesterday at the trade deadline, who's going to stamp pat, who isn't. He thinks the Leafs aren't going to do anything.
And that's
he says you're going to chill right out and
that's
do what Babcock says, chill out.
And that's another question for about a month and a half from now, but if the Leafs are right there, like, say, 2 or 3 points out of the Atlantic Division playoff spot, would you be upset if you're a Leaf fan if they didn't add at the deadline to help the blue line?
No, and that's the leeway that we've gotten from him, right? And I know we got to get to this Twitter poll question, but that's the leeway we've gotten from Mike Babcock and this organization, which is, we're going to suck. Well, you don't suck. And I hate to say it because I use the term all the time, but there's no better way to kind of phrase where this team is and why they shouldn't do anything, and if they don't do anything, you shouldn't be upset, is because they're playing with house money. And I've said that before. I've said it 100 times. Is they are here because, with all their warts on the back end, they're here because they're a really good offensive team, right?
And getting better defensively.
And getting better defensively. Nikita Zaitsev seems to be taking that next step. I think he led the team in ice time the last two games. Morgan Riley's been great. Jake Gardner's come into his own. Carrick's been really good. They've just got a deficiency.
Marincin hasn't been playing.
No, which is nice.
That's huge. Absolutely.
But they've got a deficiency with their 5-6 on the back end. Other than that, this team is not as bad on the back end as we've made it out to be.
Right.
This is what we do. We make mountains out of molehills.
Well, they were to start the year, and they were blowing leads.
But
and
they are improving drastically.
Yeah, but we know the level of play in the NHL is really going to ramp up, Dean, down the stretch in the playoffs, like it always does in the second half. And that's where we've seen Leaf teams of the past wilt when things got really tough.
So what are we going to do with the Twitter poll question then? How are we going to phrase this for people? Because we're close. Leafs are close. We're close to figuring out a Twitter poll question too. Everybody's close.
We're all closing in. Okay, so Where do you think they'll finish, Leaf fans? Will they be in the playoffs? Will they miss the playoffs? Will they finish ninth? Because that's heartbreaking, and that's what we do here in Toronto historically. Or does this thing completely fall off the rails and they finish bottom five?
Yeah.
Which seems very unlikely considering how well they played, their goaltending, and, you know, just all the underlying stats. I mean, that would be ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So I think that's an interesting poll question. We'll put it out there with the second half beginning tonight. Throw it up there, see what the Leafs fans think.
Yeah, and gauge the temperature, too, because you wonder with this team how people feel, and it's almost like a microcosm of the macro. And the macro is, like, is this franchise finally turned to respectability?
Absolutely.
Right?
Like, are you not anymore?
Because here's one thing we never say. This is one thing that we, and I don't hear very often, which I heard for 20 years after moving here, which is this. These guys have no clue what they're doing. Right? You know, it's just not a conversation that you have around this team. Everybody succeeded to Lou. Everybody knows that Mike Babcock's well-heeled, and you're not worried about him and the decisions he makes. Geez, he put together a team full of scraps and a couple of really great draft picks that's in the playoffs this morning. You're waking up in the playoffs again today, right? Mm-hmm. So the systems that they have are in place, the assistants. I don't know much about the DJ Smiths of the world, but listen, this team is playing really, really good hockey right now. Over the last 10 games, are one of the best teams in the NHL. Over the last 21 games, are one of the best teams in the NHL. So in everybody's understanding of what this team is, you never have the conversation of those guys have no clue. They only care about making money. Yes, traditionally, that's actually true.
You trust the Leafs management and coaching staff, both for the first time in how long. And I think that's a big reason why if they don't do anything at the trade deadline, you'll be like, these smart guys probably made the right call.
Yep.
Right.
Oh, okay, but yeah, I understand you guys are all loving for the Leafs management, but essentially all of this is based on some luck, too. The ping pong ball fell the way the Leafs.
Yeah, like finally. Great.
Yeah,
you're gonna have luck once every
but if they
50
drafted
years.
But if they drafted Pierre-Luc Dubois third overall, they're not even close to the situation, and you were cursing the management team saying, "Oh, they blew it up, and now
we deserve
the wrong
some
guy
luck
in
too.
The draft."
We deserve some,
but
luck.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we want to say how great everything is, but a lot of it's luck.
Yeah.
Like, the plan was to tank, and you got Austin Matthews. If Austin Matthews isn't here, they're not even close to where they are. And some of that, a lot of that, is to do with luck.
You think Penguins fans care about that? They won a lottery to win. Absolutely. So, hey.
The Oilers fans care about it. They won every year for I don't know how many years. And they sucked until they got this generational dude, and now they're getting rid of everybody else.
Good.
Yeah. So,
by the time, we got some luck here.
It takes other business, too. Absolutely. We'll take the luck as well as not just that, but a great plan. So far, your Toronto Maple Leafs in a playoff situation as of this morning. Go take part in our Twitter poll question, too, at It's Dean Blundell. Hold on. Not done. Inching towards hour number two. Dan Shulman will be our guest later on this morning as well. Excited to talk to him. That's around 7:30. Clark Judge after 7 o'clock. We'll set you up for some NFL stuff this morning as well. Stephen Wade. He's a sports writer for the Associated Press. He's in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Yeah. Talk about a waste. Some of the stories about some of the Olympic venues are absolutely incredulous. We'll get to that coming up next. Right now it is time for an update. It's not time for an update. Update's coming up in a minute. Some traffic with Helena. I'm all backed up. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
6:52, we slow things down with some funk. Is it funk? Or is this new wave jazz?
This is Ice Cube from the mid
to early. It's rap.
Hip-hop. Back when hip-hop was good.
Yeah. Lots to come. George has an update coming up in just a couple minutes. Clark Judge judgments from the Talk of Fame Radio Network on last week's NFL playoff action and what to expect this week. We're just talking about the lines. You just, I don't know if you saw this. Vegas took a bath last weekend because of those games.
Ooh, yeah.
Like big time.
It was funny. We had Phil Gray on from
like
Sports.
A seven-digit bath.
We had Phil Gray on Sports from Sports Interaction. He was in studio, and he goes, God, I hope the Cowboys win today. Goes, I might be in trouble on Monday if the Packers win this game.
Those guys hold a bunch of money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They took a bath on the Packers winning.
And speaking of which, you guys were mentioning this, and this was a story. We were just talking about this off the air. These guys with cojones the size of my head.
Yeah.
That continue to bet on the Packers that have since they lost that last game prior to going on this, is it 8-0 or 9-0? 8-0 run.
Yeah.
Since being 4-6.
So what they're doing is they decided, apparently do this every year, about a team that needs to run the table to make the playoffs. So what they did was two guys in Vegas put $300 on the money line, meaning that the Green Bay Packers just have to win the game.
Yeah.
So every week when the Packers have won, they've taken their winnings and then bet it again on the Packers. Their original $300 bet is now up to $28,000. And they plan on letting it ride again against the Atlanta Falcons. So I went on Sports Interaction, and if you bet the money line, as in Green Bay straight up, I punched in, if you bet $28,000 Canadian on the Packers this weekend, that pays $68,000. Would you guys put $28,000 straight up on the Packers this weekend? Just putting in $300.
And this is where everybody that gambles, and I don't mean professionally, but like where you walk away from the table. This is like if you're there with your spouse or significant other or a friend with a brain, you're going, dude, walk away from the table. You're way up.
But I'm hot. You don't leave a heater, Dean. You don't leave a heater, Dean. You know that. You don't leave a heater.
I can't lose. I won 8 weeks in a row. I got to go for 9. That's $68,000. Maybe get some braces.
28 grand.
You know what? And see, this is the thing is if you're 28 grand in, there's two ways you can look at this. You can look at it from this perspective of $300. And I lost that money anyway because I don't have it because I put it down. So it's gone. So I'm really not out anything, right? But I stand to make $68,000. Or there's this other way you can look at it, which is I'm one lucky mother bleep, and I need to cash out while I can.
I know I would cash out.
I wouldn't.
You'd let it ride, really?
In a heartbeat. That's the excitement of the whole thing. Oof. That's the fun. Letting it ride $70,000 on a $300 bet. Are you kidding me? Yes, of course. Who wouldn't?
You want to talk about some interest in that game on Sunday.
No kidding. Hey, those guys let it ride. They'll be the loudest house on the block.
No kidding.
6:56. Thanks, George. Hold on. An update coming up in just a second. Clark Judge from the Talk of Fame Radio Network will join us as well. We've got tickets to go and see some Leaf hockey. That's after 7 o'clock. You are listening to Sportsnet 590, The Fan.